What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Friday, July 10th, and this is your daily Go Birds Morning Update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. Happy Friday. The weekend is here. It's crazy. We only have like two more weekends, actually maybe three more weekends. Yes, three more weekends until the Eagles training camp begins. In 3 weekends, the next time we're, 3 weekends from now, we'll have Eagles content every single day. Now, if you're listening to this pod, you're already listening to Eagles content every single day because the daily pod never stops every single day for, I think, almost 2 years now. So no matter what's going on, we talk about the Eagles. But it is crazy there's only 3 more weekends left. I'm in Chicago this weekend. Hope everybody is doing something fun, going out on a boat. I've always wanted to do the boat by Chicago, like, on that, whatever, that ocean or river or whatever it's called next to it. Like, very excited for that. Always seemed very cool. Whenever I've been on a boat, it's been like in warm places, Chicago, obviously in the summer warm, but not traditionally a warm place. So excited to do that. Later in the summer, going to go to Tampa, watch Leeds play. So got some fun things planned over the next 2 weeks. And hopefully you do too, because it's time to lock in pretty soon. But today, we're going to get into an interesting kind of trend I saw in the NFL, and I'll react to it and look at how the Eagles have fared in it. It has to do with drafting, and I'll be honest, when I first saw the stat, which we'll talk about, I thought the Eagles would perform pretty well in it. They're a forward-thinking organization. They're a smart organization. They draft well. But man, when you look at a prolonged stretch, you can really, really see the differences in how they're using their picks, the how much better they've got at drafting, and really just a kind of a shift since Howie 2.0 really took over. So we're going to get into that. But first, go out. Check Go Birds Insider out. It is in the podcast description, the link, GoBirdsInsider.com. It's the extension of the Go Birds family. It's a chance to chat with fellow real ones, chat with fellow auto downloaders, and chat with fellow insiders. Insiders, you get an email every single morning in your inbox. 3 things to know for the day, 2 numbers to think about, 1 thought on a player, a trivia question, which are hard to come up with. I'm not going to lie. Like when I first started this, I thought, oh, a trivia question will be fun. Didn't fully process that I'd have to think of a trivia question every day, but it's also been a good way to learn. I've done a lot of questions about the old Eagles, the pre-Super Bowl era Eagles, and it's been pretty crazy learning some of those stats of how poorly they started and how bad they were. I knew they didn't get off to a best start for the franchise, but man, you go back and look at some of those early years. I'm pretty sure this is the first year the Eagles will enter a season with a winning record as a franchise because they were just so far under to start. But Nick Sirianni and Jalen have changed that for them. So, go check out Go Birds Insider. You get a different trivia question every day. And really the funnest part is you get to hang out with me and the other Go Birds real ones. And I'm sure once football season starts, that chat's going to be popping every single day. All right, so I'm scrolling Twitter, which I have been known to do sometimes at inopportune times, right? Watching TV, put your phone away, out at dinner, but I was scrolling it during an acceptable time, the workday. And I saw a tweet from former Eagles employee Ryan Paganetti, which kind of highlighted where teams are spending their first round picks and how often they're re-signing them. Now, if you're not following Ryan on Twitter, you should be. He's an unbelievable follow. Really interesting stuff. You'll hear me bring him up quite a bit on the pod if I had to guess based off some of the information he's putting out and how interesting it is. But this one, like I said, focused on the draft. And so the tweet reads, quote, "Teams draft first rounders expecting franchise cornerstones, but how often do they actually keep them? I looked at every NFL first round pick from 2000 to 2021. The percentage of who signed a 2+ year second contract with their original drafting team," end quote. So this is where he looks at what positions signed a second contract with the team the most amount of times. And so first on this list, offensive line. Offensive linemen that were picked in the first round signed a second contract with the team 50% of the time. So first of all, the fact that that's the highest number and it's only 50% shows you that, half and way less than half for most positions are not signing a second contract. So drafting is really hard. Getting guys that can be really good pros for 5-6 years where you're giving them those extensions, it's hard to do. The Eagles have been good at it recently, but when we look at their history, you'll see it's not always been something they've been good at. So offensive linemen, number one at 50%. Quarterbacks, number two at 44.6. Now, what I will say, 44.6%. I would imagine quarterbacks are, I know the stats don't back it up, but like the most likely to get a second contract just because they're so invested, you want to give them every opportunity. I think with offensive linemen and some of these other positions, you know, you have to earn that second contract. I think with quarterbacks, you have to do the least amount to earn that second contract. But quarterbacks come in number two. Again, not surprising. You would think teams that draft a quarterback in the first round are really, really invested in those guys getting a second deal. So they almost have to lose the second deal more than they have to go out and earn it. So quarterbacks number two at 44.6%. Off-ball linebackers, 42%. That's pretty surprising. Tight ends, 40%. Interior defensive linemen, 37.8%. Running backs, 31%. That's not surprising. You know, you draft a running back in the first round, you kind of just want to run him into the ground and you don't give him a huge deal after that. Cornerbacks come in right after running backs at 30.7. Receivers, 30.7 as well. So they're tied with corners. Edge rushers, second to last, 30.3. And safeties, dead last at 28.6. So what's interesting is, philosophically, when you think about the Eagles, you think, all right, this makes sense. Offensive linemen's a position they invest a ton in. They love it, how he prioritizes it. They believe winning starts at the line. They don't actually draft many offensive linemen in the first round. And then you look at the bottom of that list, wide receiver, 30.7%, one of the lowest hit rates. They've drafted receivers in the first round. Cornerback, one of the lowest hit rates. They've drafted corners. Edges, they've drafted edges. They haven't drafted a safety. But it is just a little surprising when you look at the positions are at the top of the list that are most likely to sign a second deal compared to the bottom. You would think that this would be a list where it would back up the Eagles' draft strategy. It just hasn't, though. So I took a look at the last 20 drafts for the Eagles. Now, they didn't draft in the first round every year. I started all the way back with 2006, Broderick Bunkley. He signed a 6-year deal as a rookie. Remember the old CBA, where they weren't slotted in the way they are now. So he gets a 6-year deal, traded to the Broncos after 5 years. He doesn't get a second contract. So they miss with that. 2007 and 2008, no first round pick. Could you imagine the Eagles not picking in the first rounds 2 years in a row these days? It'd be wild. Like, especially if they traded those picks. Now they'd be trading them for a big star, presumably, if they're trading two first round picks in back-to-back drafts. But still, one first round pick in 3 years, pretty surprising. 2009, they go with Jeremy Maclin. Now, you know, these aren't Howie at this point, but still. Jeremy Maclin, he did sign a 1-year deal off of missing, he missed 2013, if you remember, with a torn ACL, but he doesn't end up signing a second deal. I think it was the Chiefs that gave him a big deal, if I'm not mistaken. Andy goes and signs him with the Chiefs. Maclin was a good dude, man. Like, he's a very underrated receiver, but he doesn't get a second deal. So of the first 4 years we're looking at, 2006, no second deal. 7 and 8, no first round picks. 2009, Maclin doesn't get one. 2010, Danny Watkins. I'm sorry, 2010 is Brandon Graham. Obviously, he gets a bunch of contracts. He gets that second contract. Didn't look for a while that like he might, but 2010, you know, beginning of that rookie year for Brandon Graham was a rough one, but he gets a second deal. Danny Watkins, very obviously, does not get a second deal. Probably, I would guess, if you asked Howie, other than a certain receiver that'll be later on the list, Danny Watkins is probably the one he misses the most. So 2011, Danny Watkins, no second deal. Then things start to turn around a little bit. Fletcher Cox and Lane Johnson, back-to-back years, clearly cornerstones, Hall of Fame players. They both get second round. They both get second deals. Marcus Smith does not. Nelson Aguilar did have his fifth-year option picked up, but didn't get a second deal. Carson Wentz, like I was saying with quarterbacks, probably didn't earn that big contract. He had one outstanding year in 2017, which obviously we know ended with a big injury. 2018, he misses time. He still gets that extension. Proved to not be a very smart extension for the Eagles. Now, he does, for what it's worth, like, you know, play a big role in helping them win a Super Bowl. And they are able to get out of the contract fairly easily. They trade him for a first round pick. They only have $35 million in dead money, but he does get a second deal, so that counts as a check. Derek Barnett, like, just passed this list. He actually got a 2-year deal, so he just meets this criteria that Ryan uses. But he gets one, so that one counts. Played 6.5 seasons with the team. I was actually debating a few weeks ago if he was a bust or not, and I think he's pretty clearly viewed as a bust. Other people were saying, you know, not a bust. But I think off of where he was drafted and the expectation he didn't meet them, he's not a bust in the way that he's not an NFL player. He's clearly an NFL player. I think he's still in the league. But he just was not a Pro Bowl player. And that's what you're looking for in the first round. 2018, no first round pick. That's when they trade back and obviously draft Dallas Goedert. He did get a second contract. So if you want to say first player selected, you could say he counts, but he's not a first round pick. Andre Dillard in 2019, big old swing and a miss for Andre Dillard. 2020, Jalen Reagor, the pick that haunts Eagles fans maybe more than any other pick. He doesn't get a second deal. But so you look at that, 2019, 2020, they don't hit, right? 2018, they don't have a first round pick. So 2018 to 2020, they don't sign a first round pick to a second contract. Then things start to heat up. 2021, obviously Devontae got a second deal. 2022, took a little bit, but Jordan Davis gets his second deal. Now, we will see what ends up happening, but Jalen Carter, I think, will get a deal. Quinyon Mitchell will likely get a deal. Quinyon Mitchell will definitely get a deal. Even if he tears his ACL, God forbid, this year, I think he'll get a deal. Nolan Smith, we'll see. And then obviously Jahad Campbell last year, not eligible. But you look at the last four draft picks, or really, you know, you want to say Devontae, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Quinyon. Four of the six, I think, will or have signed big extensions. Jahad Campbell, we'll see. It's really just too early to tell. And Nolan, I don't think will, but I guess you really never know. He certainly is not completely ruled out. He's not been a bust or anything. I mean, he's closer to a bust than a hit, but hasn't signed one yet. So you look overall at where they're using their draft picks over the last 20 drafts. Now, again, not all these are Howie, obviously, but offensive linemen, only two. They took four interior defensive linemen, four wide receivers, four edges, a quarterback, an off-ball linebacker. So again, offensive linemen at the top of that list of players that get second deals, they only drafted two of them. Receivers and edges and corners, that's nine of their picks right there. They're all at the bottom of the list. So of the last 20 first round picks, they drafted 18 players because they drafted two in 1 year. In 3 years, they didn't have a pick. Seven were signed to 2+ year extensions, two not yet eligible. So overall, seven of the 16 signed to 2+ year extensions. So it's not good. That's not great. Now, they are a good drafting team now, but that stretch there in the middle, like, really, really hurt them. I mean, even though Carson and Derek Barnett got second round deals, they were not impactful players, you know, on those second contracts. Really just Brandon, Fletcher, and Lane. You could argue from 2006 to 2020, they got three players that were worthy of second deals: BG, Fletcher Cox, and Lane. That's not good. Now, to no surprise, if you look at it from 2006 to 2020, they did win one Super Bowl, but they really only had one super competitive year, and that was the year they won the Super Bowl. Outside of that, 2018 to 2020, they weren't that good. 2016, really all the way to 2006, they had one NFC Championship game appearance in there. That was kind of, I don't want to say a fluke, but it kind of came out of nowhere. So when you're not drafting well, you're not signing your own players to second deals, it's really, really hard to remain successful. And if you look at it, they have not hit really kind of at the rate some of these other ones have. They took three offensive linemen over the past 20 years. That would be Lane, Andre Dillard, and Danny Watkins. Offensive linemen, as Ryan tweeted out, signed a second deal 50% of the time. Their three offensive linemen, only one of them did. So they're at 33%. They drafted three defensive tackles. Now, this is a tricky one because Jalen Carter is not really eligible yet, right? But defensive tackles, one out of three compared to 37%. So they're at 33%. Edges, they've done pretty well on, right? Two out of three when you look at it. So overall, was just surprising to see them not drafting to positions that often get second deals. And that stretch there in the middle or at the beginning to 2020 really hurt them. But now they're drafting better, and obviously things have been better as they're currently in the best stretch in franchise history. All right. On the other side, we had someone in the Go Birds Insider group ask an interesting question that I want to try to answer. I was going to do it in there, but I think it's a long form thing. And so I'm going to try to do it on the pod. Maybe it'll, you know, make you want to ask me a question on Go Birds Insider. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, so as you've heard me talk about, maybe annoyingly, maybe not, on every pod since we started it, Go Birds Insider. When I started it and I wanted to do it, I mean, I've said this, but in case you didn't hear it, like the two main reasons I wanted to start Go Birds Insider were one, and I looked at a bunch of different platforms before I ended up on the one that I'm on, but one was I wanted a way for all of us to be able to talk, right? Like, I don't read my mentions on Twitter anymore. Twitter is an impossible place to talk. It's hard to do it on Instagram. So I felt like creating a place for all of us just to be able to talk to each other would be fun. And the other thing is it gives me a chance to write. When I first moved from NJ.com to WIP, I wrote on the website, but over time that kind of went away. I don't really get a chance to write anymore. So that's why I enjoy doing the Daily Bird. It helps me collect my thoughts. I feel like I do really good research for it. So it, I think, also helps me on air. But as part of being a place where we can all talk, you guys put a lot of interesting points in there. I get a bunch of thoughts and ideas from things people put in the Go Birds Insider chat. And one of them recently was from Alex in Omaha. So first of all, I love the message, every single one of them, because it was probably 4 or 5 messages in a row. It was like texting with my friends. And at the end, he goes, I think he wouldn't mind if I say this. He goes, sorry, I'm drunk texting. Happy July 4th. I love you all. Like, that is such a text I would get from a friend or send to a friend. So I loved it. It made me happy. And I wanted to answer the question that he wrote on Go Birds Insider because I thought it was an interesting question. It would make good for a long pod topic. So in the middle of a bunch of questions or a bunch of stuff was, quote, got a question for all my insiders. Promise this will relate to the birds. Very simple. How do you be better? Having my first son sometime next month and have been thinking how I should be better, but how are these new players getting better? End quote. So first of all, congrats. Very excited for you. Please check back in when the young king is born. Excited to hear his name and excited to maybe see a picture of him. But how do you get better? That's a deep question, right? I do think one way you get better is just by, I think, trying new things, and I think staying disciplined are good ways to be better. I feel like at the times in my life when I feel the best about myself and I feel like I'm making progress is when I'm disciplined and when I try new things that I might have been afraid to do, but it helps me in a positive way. So I would say those are two things, but I don't think that was the heart of the question. I think what he's talking about is how can the Eagles be better, right? So I came up with 5 things that the Eagles can do to be better next year. Now, some of these are obviously a little bit simple, right? Like score more points, duh. But I tried to come up with 5 things that we've talked about a little bit, but also have a little stats to back them up. So the first one is, and this might qualify as simple, but I think it's actually really important and attaches to everything, fewer 3 and outs. Last year, one of the main reasons on offense was they had very short drives, and they would go 3 and out a lot. And when you go 3 and out, you're not controlling the ball. You're putting the defense in tough spots because, you know, you're probably inside of your own 25, 30 yard line. You're punting, but, you know, realistically, maybe the team gets the ball at their own 40, right? So they get a short field. Your defense is in bad positions. They get tired. So I think a lack of long drives really hurt them. Last year on 3rd down, they averaged 7.5 yards to go, which was 30th in the NFL. So only 2 teams faced longer 3rd downs than the Eagles. And a common theme we heard all last year from coaches and players and all that is they had to be better on 1st and 2nd down. A big thing they struggled with and tried to really fix internally but could never really get it going was getting positive plays on 1st and 2nd down. So they weren't at 1st and 12. They weren't at 2nd and 9. They weren't, if they got penalties, which they dealt with last year, if they were at 1st and 15, right? That really hurt them. So being better on 1st and 2nd down is absolutely huge. And then also getting shorter 3rd downs so that you can sustain drive. So a big thing they're going to have to do next year is be better on 1st and 2nd down, get themselves in better 3rd down situations, and get fewer 3 and outs. Because the other thing is, and this was what they wanted to do and it didn't happen. When you get positive yards on first down, you can get into hurry up. Now, hopefully they don't have to do as much hurry up this year. I think last year they tried to do hurry up more than they wanted to because it simplified the offense. It got things going, right? But because they could never really get positive yards on first or second down, they could never do that. So being better on first down, getting fewer three and outs, sustaining drives is definitely something they need to do better next year. Now, the other thing, even with all the three and outs they had and the trouble on first and second down, is they were actually pretty good on offense in the first half. They were one of the better first quarter offenses. They were one of the better first drive offenses. So the work they were doing throughout the week did help them, right? Like, and it worked. It looked like their homework would work. The problem that they had issues with was adjusting in game. So last year, they were number 5 in first quarter points, and they were number 29 in fourth quarter points. And that adds up, right? Like, that's not a stat that will surprise you. That meets the eye test. Think about the two halves with no completed passes, right? The long droughts they would go through in the game. And as a result, they only had 2 wins last year when they were down at halftime. So they would get leads, but if they couldn't do it early, right? And if like the defense was giving up points early or the offense wasn't scoring and they were behind, you know, in like, 10-6 or 10-7 or whatever, they had trouble in the second half, overcoming those deficits. So they have to be a better second half offense, which comes with adjustments. Now, with Sean Mannion, we'll see. Like, I think Sean Mannion seems like someone that is quick on his feet. He played quarterback. I think that'll help him as a play caller. We'll see how it helps him with adjustments. I think Kevin Petullo, like I said, during the week, identified the right things, came up with good game plans. It just was, they didn't sustain throughout the game and they struggled with adjustments. So with a rookie coordinator, like last year, Petullo was, there's a chance that they once again struggle with those adjustments, but that'll be a major key as well. Be better in the second half of games and be a better second half offense. So the third one, this one is a simple one, but it's very true. Run the ball better. Just run the ball better. For the love of God, run the ball better. If they are not a good running team next year, they won't be a good team. If it means the offensive line's not executing well, it means the passing game is not good enough to keep the run defense honest, and it means Saquon is not the player he was before. So how bad was their running game in 2024? Well, again, this is an eye test thing. We all watched it. We all know how bad it was. They had 11 100-yard rushing games in 2024. They had only 3 in 2025, so almost a fourth of the amount of games in 2025 with 100-yard rushers that they, or 100-yard rushing game they did in 2024. Now, obviously, 2024, that's a historic year, right? I don't know if they'll ever get 11 again, but they got to get more than 3. And part of the problem was they didn't get those big plays that they did in 2024 in 2025. In 2024, they had 17 runs of 20-plus yards and 6 runs of 55-plus yards. 2025, 4 runs of 20-plus yards and 1 run of 55-plus yards. So dramatic drop-off in both, dramatic drop-off in the running game as a whole, and as a result, again, if you want to be a run-first offense, which I think they do, but you run it on first down, it's first and 11, that makes it tough on second down, and then you're in long third downs, right? If you can't run the ball, maybe early on you do, but then the run game adjusts. That's why your offense, the run defense, I should say, adjusts. That's why your offense slows down as the game goes on. So I think the change in offense that they're making this year is for the running game. I saw some positive things in the offseason through the running game. I saw, you know, at least 2 plays, maybe 2 or 3 plays, where it looked like they felt they really executed it well. They got out to the side. Saquon got up the field. So I think they're expecting a better running game, but that is absolutely going to be huge for them. Run the ball better. I feel like someone standing outside the NovaCare back in the day with a run the ball sign. Like, this really could be number one. These aren't in any specific order. But they got to run the ball better to be a better team next year, to be the team that they can be with a great defense, with a quarterback that takes care of the ball. It complements a running game perfectly. So they have to be a better running team. Fourth, speaking of running, Jalen Hurts either needs to be a better, more consistent passer, or he needs to run the ball again. Let me repeat that. He has to be able to run the ball if he is not going to be a better, more consistent passer. Part of the issue in the Eagles passing game is Jalen is inconsistent, right? Sometimes he'll let it rip on a route. Sometimes he'll hesitate if it's not wide open, and it throws off the rhythm of the offense. Accuracy is not really his problem. It's his willingness to put it into spots. So if he's not going to run the ball, then he has to start doing that because they have to find a way to move the ball. But he can be a conservative style quarterback if he's also running the ball and getting yards on designed runs, right? So if you look at the last 4 years, he averaged 6.0 yards per carry 6.0 designed runs 4 years ago, 5.8 designed runs 3 years ago, 6.7 designed runs 2 years ago, in 5.2 yards in 5.2 designed runs in 2025. So let me say that in a far less confusing way. Last year, he averaged 5.2 designed runs per game. That is almost 2 times less per game than he did the year before. He scrambled a career low 7.6% of his dropbacks, and that number is via the Warren Sharp NFL preview book. You should check it out. So to me, though, this was the most telling stat. He kept it on 10 RPOs in 2025. In 2024, that number was 41. So think about that. When they're running an RPO offense, when you're trying to hope that the defense thinks Jalen might keep it, he kept it 10 times. That was it. He kept it 10 times all year. In 2024, he kept it 4 times as much. So the defense didn't have to guess. The defense knew. If it looked like Saquon was going to get the ball, Saquon was going to get the ball or they were going to pass it, but Jalen was never going to run it. That was not something they really had to worry about. So I get that as Jalen gets older, he has to change his game in some ways, and you're not always able to be a running quarterback, but it's important that there is the threat of the run. And Jalen is not like 32. Let's not act like, you know, he's some old head, right? He is still young enough, healthy enough, strong enough to be a running quarterback, and he's very good at being smart at the end to run. So Jalen needs to run next year. It'll help the running game. It'll make life easier on the offensive line. He's got to be a running quarterback or be a better passer. The final thing that they can do to be better, which maybe they got last year, but I think is absolutely key to being better, is being healthier on offense. Now, according to Warren Sharp, they had the second healthiest roster overall, but the offensive line was very banged up. Lane Johnson missed some time. Landon Dickerson missed a game. Cam Jurgens, I think, missed 2 games last year. And Mailata was dealing with stuff all year. So even in the games Dickerson did play, the games that Cam did play, the games that Lane did play, they were a very banged up unit, right? They were feeling the weight of all the running plays and snaps they took in 2024. So while I said I didn't put these in any order, and you could definitely argue run the ball should be number one, I think all these things come from number five, which is health on an offensive line. If the players could feel, and I know it's not realistic, but if they could feel 80% healthy for all 17 games next year, I think the Eagles will be the one seed in the NFC, like that, or maybe the two. But I think like that's how good they can be. If they're kind of dragging all year, if they're feeling banged up, if they're playing at 60%, if they're missing time, if the backups have to go in, it's going to be a long year. So to be better next year, they need to be healthy. And that's actually maybe a good way to go back to beginning. Like, what else can you do to be better? Eat healthy, work out. I always feel better about myself when I do that as well. So thank you, Alex from Omaha, for submitting that question. And if you have something you want to address on the pod or something to talk about, put it in the Go Birds chat. Be fun to talk to you guys. So go out. Enjoy your Friday. Going to be a fun weekend. Until next time, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Go Birds! It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.